Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20.
Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Where? People always ask where you go to church. The place of God. Two or three are gathered together. That's the grace of God. There am I in the midst of them. There's the face of God. And we are a part of a great enterprise that God has started, and we're his ambassadors in this world, perhaps few in number in various places, but around the world, people are meeting just like this. Where? Place of God. And we know that the place is at his feet in faith and humility. And where two or three are gathered together. Now, we don't really gather together. We are gathered together because it's something that God did. Put it in your heart. And he did a miracle. And of course, if anyone says, what does God look like? Of course, you and I know that Jesus is God incarnate. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So I saw this verse and meditated on it. And anyway, wrote a little chorus. I'll try to sing it, and then I hope you'll try to sing it with me. So when you're doing the dishes and you're in the kitchen all by yourself, you can just let it rip, I hope. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he promised to be with us, and this his word we claim. We turn our eyes to Jesus and thank him that he came and shed his blood to save us, sing glory to his name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the love you gave. Thank you for the grace to save. Thanks for victory o'er the grave. Thank you for saving me. Would you try that with me and see how we do? I hope that we can fill the auditorium with this song of thanksgiving. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he promised to be with us, and this his word we claim. We turn our eyes to Jesus and thank him that he came and shed his blood to save us. Sing glory to his name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the love you gave. Thank you for the grace to save. Thanks for victory o'er the grave. Thank you for saving me. You did real well. That's a wonderful verse about, it's not the number, it's the heart. And God comes into our midst. And that's what I want to talk about. That's what I would like to talk about today. Turn with me in your Bibles to, first of all, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and then Joshua chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 11. And then Joshua chapter 1. Verse 23. by faith. Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyeth the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. And then Joshua, chapter 1, and verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. These are the words that God gave to Joshua as the fire of faith and the torch of truth, which he would pass on to the next generation. Like a baton in a relay race, moving along a track of time and space until a millennial kingdom and the eternal word, God's son, would take his appointed place. The key word in this passage and the key word in your life and my life, the key that opens up the door of understanding and the entrance into the kingdom of heaven, I will be with you. It does not matter what China does, or Russia does, or Disneyland does. What's important is what you do with Jesus and what you allow him to do with you. For 21 years, I thought faith was when you wish upon a star. Makes no difference what you are. I thought that. I believe that for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. Everybody has some kind of a thing they call faith. And I thought I had faith. It took a catastrophic experience for God to bring me to myself. And I took a second look at Jesus. Carefully considered his character, his conduct, his claim. I pondered the paradox of the cross and responded to the power of its call. He said he was the way, and I believed him. For the sinner, he's the way out. For the seeker, he's the way in. For the fallen, he's the way up. For those going astray, he's the way back. And for those who are lost, oh, for those who are lost, he's the way home. He's the highway, the freeway, the narrow way, the through way, and the only way. And I know people, and you know people, who are going through something right now. They don't know what to do. I want you to be able to tell them that Jesus is the way. He's the through way. He's the true way. He's the highway. He's the only way. The key to passing the torch from one generation to another is not the torch, but it's the one who will be with us. And as our generation gets older, and there's a new generation coming up, the secret of their success, if they have to stay on this globe much longer, is to be with Jesus. That's the secret. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, Gabriel, an angel, came all the way from heaven to speak to a virgin named Mary. Told her that she would be with child. She was stunned. She was startled. She stood there listening to what was almost incomprehensible. The angel said, "With God, nothing is impossible." When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you knelt at the foot of the cross and laid your sins bare before Him, when you trusted Him as your Savior and as your Lord, He empowered you, as well as the Holy Spirit indwells you, with an axiom of faith, and a promise of heaven, nothing is impossible. And if you can get your mind around and embrace the virgin birth, you have to believe that. 2,000 years ago, God Almighty, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The invisible became visible. God came down not only into this world, but into your heart. And the thing that makes you different, and the thing that should make me different from everybody else in all of the world, is who lives in my heart. Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, this discusses the dilemma that the world is in and where you were when God found you. He describes our awful condition as being in the world without God. A bird without its feathers. A lion without its roar. A stamp without a letter. A house without a door. A summer without its sunshine. A storm cloud without rain. An atheist. A man who says there is no God. His life, a crying shame. A turtle without its hard shell. A ship without a rudder. A village without a spring or well, a child without a mother, Noah without the God of grace, without the rainbow or the ark, Bartimaeus without Jesus passing by, still sitting in the dark, like salt without its savor, an endless night without a day, food that has no flavor, or a sheep that lost its way. What good for man to gain the world when you count the cost and toll? When truth on judgment days unfurled, if in the end you lose your soul, I don't think people realize their awful condition. The same God that designed the bird and gave it feathers, gave salt its savor, and food its flavor, made man in his own image, breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. God's presence, power, plan, and purpose makes that man different and more than an animal. A godless life is a tragic life. And yet, that's the story of humanity. From the Garden of Eden to the caves of Iwo Jima, sin has plagued, polluted, poisoned, and pillared this planet, filling it with chaos, corruption, and carnage. Jesus is the only answer and the hope of the world. 2,000 years ago, Emmanuel, which means God with us, came, and the Bible says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons, the children of God, even to those that believe in his name. I didn't quite know what it meant to believe in his name. I thought I did. I went to the confirmation class. I studied the lessons. I memorized the questions and I memorized the answers. The minister said I passed with flying colors. I lit the candles before each service and I extinguished them before people went home. I sang in the children's choir. I even marched in the Sunday school parade and had medals and badges to show how faithful I was. I didn't understand what Jesus had done for me at Calvary and how great a sinner I was until I opened up God's Word one day. And it became not only a telescope to see heaven, but it was a mirror to show me what was ugly indeed. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just 19 years old, a MACB combat photographer in Vietnam, I came home shattered. I could have ended up a drunkard or a drug addict. Could have ended up like some of those friends that I've seen at the bus station showing their discharge papers, wearing their old army fatigues 40 years later. I could have. But by the grace of God, someone told me that my problem was the same problem that the world had. I was a sinner. And Jesus died for sinners. And it drove me to my knees, and I knelt by that army bunk bed, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. And when I got up, I had a peace that passes all understanding. And I still have that peace today. The peace of God, because I have peace with God. And what the world is going through right now with all of its trouble and all of its turmoil can be solved in a moment of humility at Calvary, where they would see that Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world. You see, there are only two kinds of people. I don't mean Democrat and Republican. I don't mean male or female. I don't mean rich or poor. It's a distinction more important than that, and it explains all the chaos and carnage we see and hear about. There are those with God and those without God. Luke chapter 137 says, with God, nothing is impossible. John 15 and verse 5 says, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. That's the great divide. It's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. It's not a race problem. It's a grace problem. It's not a job problem. It's a God problem. Those with God and those without God. Those with God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We come to a place called Calvary. We come as a sinner and freely lay our sin at his feet. He pays for them in full. And we leave there not only humble, we leave there invincible. Death has lost its sting. Jesus Christ died. He shows us how to die. He shows us how to live. And he shows us how to live with him forever. Wow. Only two kinds of people. Those with God and those without God. See, Moses learned the hard way. He was going to change the world. He decided that what his mother had told him was true. And he stood up for the Hebrews. And he decided he would be a community organizer and try to get everybody to play nice in the schoolyard. He found that he couldn't do it. As he tried to be the nicest he could, he got angry and killed an Egyptian. Dug a hole in the sand and tried to bury his sins. But he was exposed. He was a failure. And he ran away into the wilderness for 40 years. You can't run away from God. God told Joshua as he was about to pass the torch to the next generation. The old generation died out completely in the wilderness because of their unbelief. Now there were the young people to take over. Joshua, he was afraid. And God said, don't worry, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. The secret of his courage, the secret of his success, the secret of his victories is he realized that God was with him. Moses learned the hard way to try to go without God, to do it on your own, to do the best you can. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Someone will walk out of here this morning without God. I can't tell, but it makes me tremble. You're going to try to do it by yourself, and it's not going to work. God sent a Savior. God sent a sacrifice. The good shepherd came all the way down looking for the lost sheep. Somebody's going to walk out of here without God. It should cause you to tremble. Somebody else is going to come to themselves in their senses and finally realize what a fool we are by putting off what we know we should do. And we leave this place changed, humbled, but invincible, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. If God be for you, the Bible says, who can be against you? They could take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and put them in the fiery furnace. And when the soldiers look in, they see a fourth one who looks like unto the Son of God in the midst. And they survive because God was with them. They can take Joseph, who had his coat of many colors stripped from him and dipped in swine's blood, thrown into a pit and sold by his brethren to the Ishmaelites. He could be sold on the slave block in Egypt and become a servant of Potiphar, and then accused of something that never crossed his mind and found guilty and thrown into prison. And then the Bible adds the antidote to that awful poison. But God was with him. God was with him in the pit. God was with him in the prison. And when he was lifted up out of that, God was with him in the palace. The secret is God with us. Emmanuel. A man on one side, hopeless. God on the other side, almighty and powerful. And a huge gap in the middle. How can that gap be bridged? Who shall go for us and who shall we send? The Son of God, the eternal Word, said, here I am. Send me. Jesus is the bridge. The bridge, this is the gap. Emmanuel, God with us. The other choice is you without God. But worse than that, you without God forever. You see, the awful thing about hell is not the heat. It's being all alone with the God of self. Imagine that. How awful. 2,000 years ago, God's Son hung on a cross alone to pay for our sins so that we would never have to be alone. Oh, someone says, if I go to hell, I'll be with all of my friends. No. You get private accommodations, and your roommate for eternity will be yourself. And you know how miserable that is. That's an awful thing, to be without God and without hope forever. And those are only two choices. And then the third group of people that will leave here in a few minutes. First, those that will walk out without God, those who will walk out with God, having changed their heart or their way by faith. And then the third, most of us will go out with a greater sense of gratitude to realize what it means for God to be with us. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Sunday school lesson. Number one, he was with Moses in his creation. Before Moses was born, or even aware of himself or God's presence, God had plans for Moses. God has plans for you. There's a blueprint of God's wonderful and abundant life. And if you would just allow him to roll it out, you would be amazed at what he wants to do with you. God was with Moses before Moses knew there was a God. Life is sacred. And I wish people who are fighting over political issues would realize that you cannot fix a physical problem, or you cannot fix a spiritual problem with a physical solution. Abortion is a physical solution. what people need to realize is that God is the author of life. Life is precious and life is sacred. Long before Moses was born, God had plans for him. And although I don't understand all of the theology about it, we have no idea how many doctors or how many scientists or how many nurses or how many great statesmen were aborted and never saw the light of day, and God had plans. I know God's all-powerful. I know God is omniscient. I know God knows the end from the beginning. But that does not mitigate the misery that's caused by ignoring his presence or his plans. Give that life a chance. They might cure cancer or clean the oceans. But because they're blinded by their sin, they don't realize that they themselves were given a chance. And their mother went full term and suffered and labored to bring them into this world. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. And you could say that even though he's speaking to Joshua, there's a principle to be applied to all of us of faith. Before you were born, God had plans for you. It's called his will, his good, acceptable, and perfect will. And there's no safer place in all of the universe than in the center of God's will. I hope that's where you're standing today. God was with him in creation. Second, God was with him in his weakness and in his helplessness. Nothing's more helpless or weak than a little newborn baby. You know that. You could leave it and lay it there, and it's not going to do anything to help itself. It desperately needs help. Somebody to feed it. Somebody to change it. Somebody to wash it. Somebody to pick it up and hug it. It can do nothing by itself. God was with Moses in his weakness and in his helplessness. Paul understood that, not to be a negative, but a positive. When we, like our two-year-old, say, I'll do it myself. God steps back and says, all right, let's see. And you know the two-year-old always messes it up. I'll do it myself. And there are some people that are 50 and 60 years old. They're still going around like the toddler. I do it myself. And you're going to end up in eternity with yourself. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. When Pharaoh was signing the order, and the soldiers were searching Goshen, when the little basket was being lowered into the Nile, in weakness and in helplessness, God was with Moses. The mother was loving him enough to give him up to God. I can't hide him anymore. He's making too much noise. They're going to find him. The neighbors are going to rat me out, and the soldiers are going to come. Finally, she realized there's nothing else I can do. I'll put him in the basket. I'll cover it with pitch, and I'll slip it into the between the marshes, and I'll ask God to watch over him. God watched that little basket bounce around in the waters. God was with Moses in his weakness and in his helplessness. And when you look back on your life, you can say the same thing. Not only was God there when you were born, he has never taken his eyes off of you. Perhaps you feel weak today or in need. Know that God knows exactly where you are. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Third, he's with Moses in his good fortune. God saved Moses. He allowed him to grow up and to learn in a world of knowledge and science. He saw everything at its best. He had the best of everything. But he realized that the best of everything this world has to offer doesn't satisfy the soul. God was with him in his fortune. He wasn't fooled by the alabaster plates. He wasn't fooled by the marble floors. He wasn't fooled by all of the Book of the Dead. He wasn't fooled by the pyramids, which are merely just giant tombstones. He wasn't fooled by it all. The Bible says when he came of age, he chose rather to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He wasn't fooled. A lot of people, you know, good people, maybe church people, watch out. If they ever win the lottery, you'll never see them again. They'll hit it big. Sometimes good fortune ruins a person. Didn't ruin Moses. Moses said, keep the world. He knew the difference between the kingdom of God and the magic kingdom. He didn't want Mickey Mouse. He wanted God Almighty. Fortune didn't change him or ruin him or blind him. God was with him in his fortune. And may God be with you in your good fortune as well, that it might not blind you or fool you or pull you away in the undertow of covetousness. And the church, of course, one of the reasons it's so powerless is because it doesn't understand that the riches is Christ Jesus, not driving a Bentley or wearing a Rolex, what do you call it? I don't even have a watch. Having God in your heart, God was with him in his good fortune. Fourth, God was with him in his failure. 40 years in the wilderness. These were years of obscurity. Moses was not overtly aware of God's presence, but God was there. It was like Jacob waking up and realizing God was in this place and I didn't know it. He named the place Bethel. And he said, this is the gate of heaven. We didn't notice that he was there, but he was there in our failure. And Peter had toiled all night and said, Lord, it's no use. Jesus said, let's throw him back to the place of failure and listen to me. Well, listen to a carpenter, rabbi. You don't know anything about fishing. But nevertheless, at thy word, he let down his nets. God brings us back to the place of failure to show us his full power. God was with Moses and God was with you. Beware of the deceitfulness of riches, but also beware giving up in the midst of failure. The psalmist said, it was good that I was afflicted, because in that affliction I saw God in his greatness and his glory. The Philippian jail had to collapse all around the jailer before he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And you know people, and I know people who just wouldn't listen until their jailhouse collapsed. And a pile of rubble and ruin around them, a marriage, a business, some crazy idea they had. They failed, and in that failure, they finally looked up. And God was there all along. So I was waiting for you to look up. And you looked up. In his failure, God was with him in adversity. His own people didn't understand him. They didn't appreciate him. They wanted to go back to the chains of socialism or communism to have somebody take care of them like a chicken in a chicken house, never thinking about they might be roasted. They were reluctant followers at best. But Moses put on the breastplate of righteousness and he kept on and he kept on. The Bible says that he was humble and the servant must not strive. Then lastly, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. He was with Moses in his death. He was the only one that showed up for the funeral. As far as we know, there were no flowers, no organist. No eulogy, just God and Moses. One day we will all die, circumstances will be different, but we'll die. Only God knows the spot where the body of Moses laid. But the spot is not important, for it's merely a portal into heaven. And of course, death for us is not the end. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. We go to the New Testament in the 17th chapter in Matthew, and there we see Moses with Jesus. Oh, wonderful. Two kinds of people in the world, those with and those without. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. How does it work? How does real faith work? By the way, we're not saved by our faith. We're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace is the big hand. Faith is the little hand. Verse 27. To a virgin, espoused, Luke 1:27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. That's grace. Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. You have won the lottery when you realize that God wants to be with you. When Mary heard that, that changed everything. The Lord is with you. There's only two kinds of people, those that are with and those that are without. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. The Lord is with you, and with God, nothing shall be impossible. The Lord is with you, and with God, nothing shall be impossible. Wow. You don't have to worry about a thing. All you have to do is be with him. And that's where, well, how can I be with him? Should we get rosaries and or prayer beads or prayer wheels? Or how about prayer flags blowing in our backyard? How can I be with him? Verse 38. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid, the servant. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. That's it. Faith is simply saying, all right, be it unto me according to thy word, whatever. Whatever you say, I believe. Wow. And so when Jesus says to Peter, get out of the boat and come, Peter walks on water. You can always do what God asks you to do. If he asks Mueller to build an orphanage, guess what? It's a famous orphanage. It wasn't Mueller. It was God with Mueller. It wasn't Nehemiah. It was God with Nehemiah. It wasn't Joseph, it was God with Joseph. And God says to us, no matter what we face as we enter into this new territory of a chaotic world, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And the secret is being with him. One other verse before we close. Mark chapter 3, I think. verse 13. And he goeth up into a mountain, and he calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12, look at it, that they should be with him. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be with them. Then he says, and that he might send them forth to preach. A lot of people get it backwards. They go out and preach before he's with them. That never works well. Our job is just to be with him. And then after we've been with him, we could tell other people what it was like to be with him. The world desperately needs to know the Savior that you have. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and creator, my Savior, Lord and friend. He first conceived and thought me, and then with skill he wrought me, and filled with love, the Lord above came to this world and sought me. Although I fell, I'll gladly tell, Christ reached beneath and caught me. Since this alone was not enough, with blood the Savior bought me. Now at his feet I take a seat and heed all he has taught me about his Father's house above, where I'll be because he brought me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the great love wherewith you loved us. Thank you that you cared enough that Jesus would come and die in our place and in our stead, that we might be with you, that our hearts might be with you, that our feet might follow you, and that we might be with you forever. I pray for each person here, if there's someone who has never trusted Jesus as their Savior and they are not with him, I pray that they would bow before him today and ask him into their heart to take their sin away. I pray that every Christian here might appreciate the fact that you have a plan. We've been following it as best we can in thy word. Be it unto us according to thy word. And help us to be able to share with others what Christ has done for us and what he means to us. And bless this assembly. In Jesus' name we pray. You see, it's the with or the without. And so, as they say today, vaya con Dios. Go with God. And the only way is to go with Jesus. God bless you.